conquered so much more than just the grave, Lord. And we pray that today, the last of our resistance to you will be conquered. And that you come in like a mighty wave, Lord, and you cleanse us and you sweep aside all that does not belong, so that we may live fully, completely sold out to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, people. Good to be with you. Welcome to Be Church. We're really happy to have you here this morning. We've had an exciting time, and I'll share a bit in the coming weeks on some of the stuff up there. But generally, it has been a good day. It's been a good week, and because of a good week, we'll have good days. Man has a saying that the more things change, the more they stay the same. And I was thinking, that's really stupid. Because if something's changed, it means there's an altered state of being. So it can't be the same. And it's the same with God's love. Once it touches you, you cannot, should not be the same. You have to be changed. Can you just turn me down a bit? I'm getting feedback here, or like a buzzing in my ears. Something needs to change. And when we started the message, we said we were going to be by found and formed and then get to fruitful. And I thought we were being fruitful by now. But the more I thought about it, the more evident it became that there's some people that aren't where they need to be yet. And we've repeated in the past weeks a number of things, making sure you're in a condition to become fruitful. But there's this one obstacle, this one thing. It's called that thing, that incident, that I feel we have to address. And I was going to skip this and then thought, no, it's actually very important. Now, who knows Meatloaf? Not the food, the singer. Okay? It's a weird name for a singer, but when you see him, you'll understand. He sang a song, "I'll do anything for love, but I won't do that." And we want to talk today about your that. Okay, we come to God and we say, "Lord, I want all of you. I want your blessings. I want your provision. I want your healing. Lord, I want your hand over me, and I want your hand over my loved ones. Lord, I want all of these things. But Lord, there's some things that I know you want me to do, but that I can't do, that I'm not willing to give up for you." And that's how we live our life out. We might not verbalize it, we might not even think about it, but we tell God, "I want everything from you, but I'm not willing to give absolutely everything back to you, because I've got an A, I've got a B, and I've got a C." It's like a child coming home and says, "Look, Mom, Dad, thanks for the home, thanks for the roof over my head, thank you that you feed me, thank you for your the clothes I've got to wear, thank you for all of this, but I need you to know one thing, I'm going to do what I want. I'll go out when I want. I'll stay out as late as I want. I'll hang around with whoever I want. Thank you for all of this, but this is what I'm going to do." Is that going to float? No ways. Would you put up with it from your child? But you want God to put up with it from you, because that's what you're saying to him. "Thank you for all of this, but I'm going to do this and that and so on." We live our life out like that. And we sort of make a choice about the parts of the Bible that we go into, apply to our life, and the parts we think aren't relevant to us, which we don't feel we want to obey or can obey. We sort of ignore sections of it, and where there's things that impact on our moral standard, we sort of say, "God, you know, I get all of this. I get this from you. But you don't understand my situation. You don't understand how I feel. You don't understand I've got a will and I've got a choice to make, and I'm choosing to hold on to certain things and to live a certain way." Most of us do live like that. And if you think about it, we can begin to understand why our society looks like it does, Why we have so many different churches and so many different caliber of people who call themselves Christian? Because we aren't all surrendered to the Word of God and to the moral standard God is setting us through His Holy Spirit. For any believer, Jesus gives us a standard. And in that standard is everything we need to be able to live up to and we should be pursuing in life. All believers should start in Matthew 22, verse 34 to 40. And it says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands." The Sadducees were trying to trip Jesus up. They were trying to get Jesus to think about things the way they thought about them and to see things the way they saw it. And Jesus managed to silence them. So the other religious group thought, okay, if they can't get Jesus to conform to what they believe, maybe we can. Maybe we can catch him out and get him to trip himself up. So they ask him the question, what is the greatest commandment? And he takes all of their laws. He goes back in history and every single teaching God had given the nation, everything Jesus had spoken about, all their leaves, all their laws, everything they believed in, he takes it all and he compresses it into two instructions. Love God with your everything and love your neighbor as yourself. And that is really what we should be pursuing. And we can't have anything holding us back from doing that. Because what we are holding on to in the end actually has a hold on us. And we've got this that. We've got this thing that maybe we haven't given over to Jesus. In Matthew 16:24, Jesus says to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." Not follow what you think. You've got to deny yourself. You've got to take up your cross. This is going to be a walk. It's a burden. Okay? You'll get used to it because it'll become natural to you. You won't feel the cross anymore. But you've got to follow me. You can't follow this person or that person or what you think or what you feel. You've got to follow me. You see, I said in week one, Jesus made a choice to go to the cross so that we would have a choice. Are we going to love him or not? And you can't half love someone. It's all or nothing. And if it's all, then you've got to start following him. You've got to deny yourself. See, because love actually means obedience. It is obedience to the person you love. And obedience costs something because love is not cheap. It's going to cost you to follow Jesus. It means you've got to deny yourself once in a while. You see, Jesus in this case says, in all cases says, whoever. The King James Version says, any man who shall follow after me. Whoever. You are the whoever. It doesn't exclude anybody. Okay? Everybody is included in this. You, who you are, Francois or Terry or Linda or Oma Joey or whoever, you are whoever, and you need to deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. No one can do this on their terms because Jesus has given us his terms. And if we love him, we will be obedient to him. You see, being a disciple is far more than just saying a sinner's prayer. Because that's what we do. we're in a difficult spot in our life, or we've been moved emotionally in a service, and we say a sinner's prayer, and we think, that's it, my ticket's been stamped, I'm going to heaven. And you show it every now and again when you've been misbehaving and you're feeling a bit bad. Hey, here's my ticket. I'm okay. I'm going to heaven. But we don't get to the part of denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following Jesus. You know, we got people who deny what is actually good for them, and we got people who deny what is bad for them. We got people who deny absolutely everything. We can't do this and we can't do that, and ek mag nie dit nie, and they become religious because they've got all these laws. I can't do this, I can't do that, I mustn't go there, I mustn't do this. And we become so religious because you think God expects you to have man-made perfection and not Holy Spirit transformation. You see, we get the other side, people who absolutely change nothing. And after salvation, they look exactly the same as they did before. And we've got to find a balance between these two. You've got to change, but you've got to allow God to change you. Yes, He expects you to make decisions about stuff you're going to deny. He expects you to take up the cross, but He doesn't expect you to perfect yourself, because He will do that for you through the Holy Spirit. If you allow you to change you, you end up becoming religious. If you allow the Holy Spirit and you give permission to God, because you've got to decide to do it, and you let that happen, then you become a disciple. Then denying and taking up your cross becomes a whole lot easier. I don't know about you, but when I try to do things in my own strength, that cross becomes heavy. And it weighs me down. And I get to a place where I feel I can't do this, and I drop the cross. Because we're trying to do it in our own strength. And I think every young believer, every newly saved person goes through that process thinking, I must do it. Even when I was saved, I went through my CDs and chucked out, and it's funny, devil, and poured alcohol down the drains, and I went more. My wife looked at me and thought, I've lost it. Okay, because I'm trying to get rid of all of this stuff that could impact me, and I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't hang out with those people. And then I couldn't see Jesus anymore, because I thought He's too far, too difficult to attain, and I backslid. But when I came to Christ, and I said, through the power of the Holy Spirit, I will allow your transformation. I know I'm going to have to decide on certain stuff. There's certain stuff I must deny. And I'm denying that, but I'm asking, Lord, you give me the strength to overcome it. And the times I made mistakes, I went on my knees and I repented. I said, Father, I messed it up. I still do that today because I still mess up. I had a few moments in Johannesburg traffic when I messed up recently. Now, this scripture, deny yourself. Just before Jesus said this, He said something else rather harsh. In Matthew 16, verse 23, but He turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of God. Of man. Okay? And then He goes on after that and says, oh, deny yourself. Okay? He's just called Peter what we would think is calling Peter a Satan. No. He saw something in Peter that was going to be a hindrance to him. So He says to that thing in Peter, you get behind me, Satan, because what was happening here, Jesus says, I've got to go to Jerusalem and I've got to go do these things and I have to do this. And Peter says, no, not you, Lord. And Jesus looks at this and recognizes in the moment, this is a trap from the devil to get me to doubt, to get me to stumble, to get me to turn away from what God wants of me. And He sees it for what it is, and He looks at Peter and He looks at the situation and says, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, because you are here to distract me. He denies the opportunity to be disobedient to God by recognizing the attack of the enemy. He realized Peter loves him, but Peter was being used. Peter was not trying to deny who Jesus was, but he was trying to prevent what he would become. He was simply being used by the devil. It was a ploy. You see, Jesus realized in that moment that the devil didn't belong in his past or in his present and didn't belong in his future. The devil had to be behind him, had to be in his past so he can move forward and do what only he could do and what he was going to do. And do you have any idea what you are able to do because of what Jesus has done? Because of what he has done, you are able to deny yourself. You are able to take up your cross. You are able to tell things in your life, get behind me, Satan, because of what he has done. But you've got to understand the significance of that statement. What he has already done and what is done for you. And that's what you've got to live out. That's how you get the courage to overcome and to deny and be obedient. Take up your cross and put everything behind you. Put everything behind you. And you do it, like Celine Dion sang, in the power of love. In the power of his love. Not in your power, not in your strength, but in the power of God's love for you, which was poured out by Jesus through the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's how we do it, by the power of love. I had rather a soft spot when I was growing up for Bonnie Tyler. I thought she was just so hot. Okay? And she also sang quite well. But she sang a song, "I'm Holding Out for a Euro." She needed someone to come and rescue her. She was actually looking for a euro on a white horse. And you know what? If we don't realize our euro has already come, if we don't realize our euro doesn't wear a cape, but he wore a cross, if we don't realize that, we're going to continue holding out for a euro or trying to be the euro when God has already done it through his son on the cross so that he could be your fighting force, conquering all that's ahead of you and overcoming all that is behind you. Stop holding out for a euro. Stop trying to be the euro and recognize Jesus has already become your euro, and in him are all things. The only thing you need to be rescued from is you, because you're your worst enemy. You see, you work against yourself by the choices that you make. And one of them is the choice to be not a completed work, to be something of a half new creation, but not a full new creation, because you haven't dealt with the old properly. You see, too many of us have got a that in our life. I'll do anything for love, but Lord, I can't do that. Those things, those way back whens, maybe way back when you were a child, maybe way back when you were in varsity, maybe way back when you started working, maybe way back in a relationship, maybe way back in your first marriage. We've all got a way back moment that entails we got that in our life that is holding us there and not allowing us to move and to follow Jesus, because we're unable to deny that, and we can't walk with our cross because our cross is too heavy because of that. And we've been through this stuff how many times? We've spoken about the circumstances in your life, yet we find people still holding on to that. And when I was going through this message, I really thought about leaving it out, but then I realized some of you here today have got a that. And we as B Church, You as the church cannot go where God wants us to be with that holding you back. We need to be released, people, because God has got magnificent work to be done through you, but then He's first got to work in you. And we need to give up that incident, that time in your life, that thing you wish you could go back and maybe change, that thing that brings you shame, that thing that still haunts you. I don't know what it is, but we all have them. Guilt, shame, unforgiveness. I don't know what it is. Offense. And as long as we hold on to that, it will control us. It will alter our destiny and influence our calling. Because it's in the fullness of your surrender that is the victory of Christ. And we can break the cycle and we can break the bondage, but then you've got to own up and you've got to give it to Jesus. You've got to make peace. Because I'm telling you today, church, listen, your past does not define you. It might have shaped you, but Christ is the one who defines you. Christ is the one who identifies Himself in you. But you got to put behind you what belongs in the past. You got to let it go. You got to forgive yourself. You got to forgive others. You might have been broken by it. You might have been offended by people. I don't know. You need to let it go. You have to let it go. Sounds like my granddaughter's favorite song from Frozen. Let it go. Let it go. You have to. You have to let it go. Because it's freezing you in a position that is not where Christ wants you to be positioned. You there, and He needs you here. Because you can't let go. You need to say today, get behind me, Satan. Because that's the devil's tool he's using against you and against the kingdom of God. The end of Luke 3, we read about the baptism of Jesus, and going into chapter 4, after he was baptized, he gets led into the desert. And you could have a picture of Satan leading him in, or Jesus willingly walking, knowing what he's got to go through to achieve God's purpose in his life. So he doesn't follow Satan. In my mind, I can't see him doing that. He leads him and says, come do what you got to do so I can show my Father who I am because of who He is and what I'm going to do because of what He has already done in me. And now I've got to go through this so I can go to the cross so that everyone who comes after me can overcome everything that is behind me. You see, he goes in to be tempted for 40 days, 40 days without food. 40 days of temptation that I don't think any normal human being would be able to face. He gets taunted with food. He gets have scripture thrown in his face over and over again. The Satan, the devil, tries to get him to deny who he is and to deny his Father in heaven. He wants to prevent him from going to the cross that he asks you to bear. He wants to stop Jesus from becoming the Son of God, the risen Lamb of Christ. He wants Jesus to take ownership of his weakness and not to operate in the power of God. So he tempts him and he tempts him, and Jesus overcomes him and overcomes him. And then it says this, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, he leaves the desert. In the power of the Holy Spirit, he leaves the desert. And someone here this morning needs to hear this. You've been tempted, and you've been tempted, and you've been tempted. And if you just resist one more time, the power of God will come over you, and you'll walk in victory because of how you have stood. And you stood firm, you've been strong, and you've been courageous, and God is going to walk the road with you. The power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit will be with you. So he comes out, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, he goes to his hometown, Nazareth, and he goes into the synagogue there. What would happen is they would hand out scrolls. There will be 5 readings during a service, and 2 would be done by, one by the chief, the high priest, one by someone from the Levitical priesthood, and the 5 others by any of the other people available. But you would be handed a scroll, and you would read from that scroll. Wherever it was opened is what you would read from. And Jesus goes into this synagogue, and he's handed a scroll. There's 16 to choose from. 304,000 words on average in any given scroll. Those scrolls was the entire history of Israel. It was the first 5 books. It was the prophets. It contained the whole law. It was everything. And someone hands Jesus a scroll and is opened at a place and he starts to read about himself. What's the chances if that wasn't God, that where it is opened, he's reading about who he is and what he would do. And he picks up in Luke 4:18 from a passage that is in Isaiah thousands of years before that predicted what he would do. And it said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he rolled up that skull in front of all these people and he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down, and the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. You have heard the truth. You have heard who I am. You have heard what I've come to do. I've come to set the captives free. And he's come to set you free. What is your that? What is it that's been holding you back? What is it that's got to be given to him? Because he's opened the cell door and he's asking you, just walk out of the prison you've got yourself caught up in. Because I want you to follow me. But you need to step out. You need to leave that thing there. You see, if you're willing to do anything for love, but you won't do that, do you really love? I will do anything for love, Lord. I'm going to surrender. I'm going to give this to you because I know the future with you is far greater than what I could ever have imagined. I know your provision will be there for me. I know your love will fill me. I know your hand will be over me, Lord. And I want to walk that, but I'm tied up, yeah, Lord. And today, I declare in the name of Jesus, I claim release from that because of what you have done for me. And I'm going to deny that, Lord. And I'm going to say, get behind me, Satan. Because, Lord, I need your freedom and I want to go where you need me to be. All of us have these things. All of us. But some of us had them. And some still have them. I had it as well. An incident I was so ashamed of. I couldn't ride past that spot without feeling condemned, dirty. Until I couldn't take it anymore. And I said, God, you need to release your blessing over me. I need your peace to come over me. I need freedom from this thing. And I refused to take it up again. It tried. It tried. But the word says, deny yourself. I denied that in my life. I said, I'm not going back there. And we've got these things. people have hurt us, things we have done, guilt we're carrying, offense. I might have offended some of you and it's influencing your relationship with God. You need to let it go. Other people could have hurt you, your mom, your dad. I don't know who. I don't know what it is, but we all got a that. I will do anything for love, but today I'm going to do it all for love. Lord, I'm giving you that. Because meatloaf, mash and gravy and pumpkin were all wrong. I'm giving it to you, Father God. Because I want freedom. And I want fullness. You see, Jesus is saying to you today what he said on the cross. It is finished. It's finished. We can't be church. See it come up there. We can't be church until we completely surrendered. What God has got in store for us, I don't think man can comprehend. But you, the church, you are this church. But don't do it for your church. Do it for you and do it for your family and then do it for church. But first you do it for God. You see, if your past has marked you, if your past has marked you, it's left its stain on you. Today, you've got to allow yourself to be washed clean by the blood of Christ. You need a release because you've been captive way too long. It's time to come clean and to walk and follow Jesus. The cross is not a burden. It's the abundant life that Christ has gained for us. Don't make it heavier than it should be. You need to come clean. I want to ask this morning that if you got a that thing that you've identified while we've been talking as the praise and worship team comes back, that thing, that, if you've identified it, if you know it's there, and if you want to deal with it, if you are sick and tired of being in that cell that it's keeping you in, if you're sick and tired of having your hands and your feet bound by that thing, if that's you, I'm going to ask you to stand where you are. This is going to take boldness, but we're called to be bold for Christ. So if you got a that, I want you to stand now, please. Thank you, Father, for the honesty that these children of yours, Lord, these sons and daughters, ones who have been adopted into your family, thank you for the honesty they've shown this morning. Thank you, Lord, of their willingness to hand over to you which belongs to you. We pray for them, Lord, for a release from the past. We cut off everything, Lord God, that has bound them, that has kept them from your fullness. We declare, Lord, a refreshing over their lives, a newness to come upon their hearts and their minds, Lord God. We say thank you in Jesus' name that the guilt, the shame, the event, the person, whatever it was, is behind them, Lord, and that they now are taking up their cross by denying that. That in your life today, you have said, get behind me, Satan. And we thank you that that event in your life is behind you. It is gone. It is overcome. You've got the freedom of Jesus Christ. You need to take up that cross. You need to take this freedom. You need to feel it now, flowing into you, bringing release. Thank you, Lord, that burdens that have been carried for years are dropping off, and the lightness that comes from Christ, the presence of the Holy Spirit is touching your people now, and they are being released in Jesus' name. Thank you for bondages that are being broken now. Thank you, Lord, for a renewing, a refreshing, and a reforming, Lord, of who we are in you. Thank you, Father, for a mighty work done right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Those of you who were brave enough to stand, I commend you for standing and saying, no more, no more. From here on in, it's me and Jesus, no longer just me. I'm walking with a king. I'm walking with a king. I'm walking for a king.